Welcome to Seeing Into Being Summit, spiritual insights and stories to awaken the golden age in your heart, mind, and daily life.
Okay, Om Shanti, Brij Mohan Bhai, so nice that you can join us. It's a real privilege and a great scene in drama to have a chance to be with you for the next half hour and explore the topic of Golden Age. So welcome to this webinar. You'll be speaking to the whole Brahmin family. So welcome and a big Om Shanti from everyone.
Om Shanti to everyone.
Great. So as you know, we are exploring the ideas of Golden Age and looking at the future. Baba has been telling us for many, many, many years, Golden Age is coming, Golden Age is coming, Golden Age is coming. We're still waiting a little bit and wondering how we're going to get there. So we wanted to hear from you many aspects of Golden Age, but the first thing I'd like to ask you is, in your early days in Gyan, when you came to Baba, you were young, it was many, many years ago, what was your experience of this concept of Golden Age when it was presented to you?
Well, Baba tells everything in contrast. So when I was given knowledge of the whole cycle, and the extremes were united at confluence, so I know very well, we all know about the Iron Age, what is going on here. So when I was given understanding of the Golden Age, it was so easy for me to conceive what it would be like. The only thing was that we can describe the Iron Age for hours. But if you ask me to describe the Golden Age, it is so perfect. In fact, most of the things happen there without so many words. So therefore, it takes a lot of time to describe even an ordinary thing of the Golden Age.
But did you have any trance experience or any vision or any special moments in your meditation in the early days that really brought to you vividly this experience of Golden Age?
Actually, when I came in Gyan, I used to have semi-trance, what you call. When I was in deep meditation, sometimes I will totally forget my body and feel I am out of the body. And at those times, moments, I used to have a different type of visions or experiences of different times of the world cycle. And Golden Age was also one of those. But later on, Brahma Baba himself told me not to go in trance, because Baba said that it is better to be understanding everything with knowledge rather than seeing it in the vision. And Baba also used to say, if a soul goes in trance and then understands, he does not become number one. That person becomes, instead of win, in place. So Baba used to say that Mateshwari mother, who had never seen anything at all, not even a spark of light in trance, she becomes number one. Because Brahma Baba says, I had certain trance experiences in the beginning. So at that point of time, I stopped. But during that period when I used to go in semi-trance, I did have some sort of, you may call it visions or divine understanding, which I did not have through knowledge, but through certain type of visualization.
Can you recall some of the details of those semi-trance experiences? Can you just share a little bit what you remember from these moments?
You know, it happened long, long ago, but I will try to recollect. I used to feel that there were shallow springs running in the palaces itself. and those springs were very shallow. And you could see, just as we can see stones below a clear water spring. Similarly, very shallow springs with crystal clear water, and instead of stones, multicolored gems settled below. This is one vision I exactly remember. And I also remember that none of those gems were in black color. Some were white and others were multicolored, but there was no black color gem in that settlement. And they were so shallow springs, and there were also areas where you could go across the spring to the other side. This is one experience I vividly remember. And if I try to think of another one, I used to see beautiful sort of birds. Most clear were peacocks, then butterflies, multicolored butterflies, sparrows of different colors, and Baba used to say in Murlis that the birds would play in front of the deity children. So those visions also, I, after learning that knowledge from Baba, I used to have that the sparrows and others, they are showing their sort of tactics or play in front of the children, the deity children. Something like that.
So these semi-trance were stimulating for you? That was a kind of encouragement for your personal efforts, or it was creating a lot of intoxication at the time?
Well, now while talking to you, I'm also recollecting that the trees there did not have twisted branches or trunk. They had straight trunks and straight branches, and also that there was fragrance. I saw some divine young children sitting in a sort of a garden, you can say, and velvet grass, like, you know, velvet carpets we find here. And they were sitting, and I just had the vision, and I also felt a lot of fragrance, very heavenly fragrance coming from the flowers around. There were roses, multicolored flowers, and also when Baba said that the water there flowing in the springs would come from passing through the various type of herbs, so I could also visualize, Baba used to say, the rivers of milk will flow. And then Baba used to say, not milk in that sense, but it was so healthy. And so the water was like milk there, and here the milk is like water, something like that. So I could used to visualize that the water in springs has medicinal or herbal properties also. This also I remember. Now your question that how I used to feel in those days while going in semi-trance. I would feel like that I should be staying more time for there, because when I saw those sceneries, beautiful scenes, I felt a part of that. And I forgot my Kaliyugi body and Kaliyugi situation. I just felt I was also there. And after that, you know, I used to feel that joy or bliss for long durations.
Wow, okay, we can feel it now. It seems like we're talking about something that happened a long time ago, and it's good that we reawaken that feeling right now, right?
Yes, then I also remember I had a vision of the palaces. And the palaces, one thing I noted was, they were all single-storied, not multi-storied. No palace had double story, but they had beautiful domes, and those domes are also bejeweled, and they gave some natural light. And you know, when Baba spoke about the vimans, pushpak vimans, a different type of very beautiful small planes, you can call them, which did not run on any machinery, but with thought power. So I used to see vimans with single occupant, with two. But one thing I noted was that no viman had more than four seats. This also I remember vividly, and I used to enjoy looking at those vimans, soundless, absolutely heavenly. And like the birds settling on ground, the vimans used to come from different areas, and they used to have some sort of picnic, dancing, etc.
This is lovely, and I know you have a mind and an intellect that likes to understand the depth of everything, and you've been churning, writing a lot for Baba. When you think of those visions, were you questioning at some point afterwards, how can it be possible? Like, how would a V-man, you know, fly like this silently with just thought power? Was it something that at some point you started to churn on to try to understand how this is going to work? How can the grass be like a carpet, you were saying? Was it some kind of churning you had on that afterwards?
Because, yes, when Baba spoke in Murlis about Satyuga, so Baba said that there the leaves will stir and produce music. So after listening to those Murlis, when I had my next visit by thought to the Golden Age, I really felt that sweet breeze is blowing and the leaves are stirring, and there is sort of a very beautiful music. I used to like to stay there more and more to feel that. And one thing specific, remarkable I noted was that nothing there went at fast speed. Everything was very, very naturally happening. I won't call it slow movement, but naturally it was happening. So I used to, what Baba said, that there will be real Satyuga where you will go when the time comes. But I am giving you all this, like, you know, Sakshatkar, visions, so that you have lived through this period innumerable times, and now it is coming again. But to invoke that and feel like enthusiasm to go there, I used to feel that I should have more of such visions. So when Baba stopped me from going in trance, even then in meditation, I used to spend some time to have such like feelings and experiences of what I saw and what Golden Age would be like by churning.
And did, before Baba stopped those semi-trance for you, did you have a chance to explore more the quality of the deities? How does it feel to be in the Saptopradhan body? The fact Baba sometimes mentioned there's no gravity in Golden Age. We feel very light. It's almost like we're not heavy in the body. Did you have chances to explore that a little bit more? There's a deity, the aspect of the deities, their eyes, their relationship, their smile.
Yes, yes.
Say.
Yes, yes, I used to see that, first of all, their faces were so natural, so innocent. Their sort of skin color was like bright copper. And the most remarkable thing were their eyes. Magnetic eyes, if you look at them, sometimes they happen to see you, you will be just become absolutely, totally staying there, and you will not be able to move even your thoughts. Very magnetic eyes, and there was also not much difference between the innocent face of a child deity and a grown-up one. And other thing I noted was that both the devatas and devis, the male and the female, they had almost similar figure, and they didn't look like, you know, different from each other. So, you know, what I was feeling was that not only male and female were alike, but age-wise also. And then Baba said that the bodies of Iron Ages, people give odor, and the bodies of the deities give fragrance. So I really felt like they had fragrance coming, a typical type of very attractive type of fragrance coming out of their bodies, so that you will feel like being attracted by them and trying to be close to them, like that.
And what do you remember in terms of relationships? I don't know, was there any insight for you in terms of how we connect with one another? Like, do we shake hands? Do we give a hug? You know, there's a kind of, what behavior do you feel we had with the, among the deities?
You know, I had, not many visions, maybe not more than 30 such scenes. But what I found was they spoke very little. Very little, and most of the work was done, I think, by their mind, mental communication, through the eyes, or natural movement, like that I felt, that they don't have to sort of say that this has to happen. If they are coming together, so they will naturally come together, and if you see them in a gathering, which one to stay where, it will naturally happen. The elders will be just coming to closer to each other, then the children will also be having their, something like that. Everything happening naturally. This is what I felt. They don't have to sort of say something, to do something. It was like a natural communication taking place. Maybe if we want to compare, just as it happened in the birds. I saw, in the sky, beautiful birds. These days we call them paradise birds, but not like that. Heavenly birds, in the sky, morning, with very glowing background and information. And then they will just shift their places, but still remain in formation. How they do that? It is natural communication. So similarly, in the deities down on earth, I felt like that it is everything is happening naturally. We human beings, now we have the power of language, we speak, but just as perhaps if we compare with the animals, they don't speak. They make some sort of sounds, but they naturally move. If you see the herd of, say, elephants, there are calves, young ones, big ones. So they naturally move, they naturally go to the stream to take water and like that. So something similar I found, that although it is a talky word, but they hardly talked, and they just a little bit of lip movement. I never heard any sound, you know, like that.
It's a very interesting insight, but at the same time, they accomplish many things because they have to build palaces. There's a full life happening. It's not just standing there and smiling.
No.
Just there's a full life and activity, so which is quite interesting. One question, Brijmohan Bhai, is we know that those visions, of course, are matching the gyan that Baba is giving. And sometimes Baba says he gives vision according to the belief of the person. If someone believes in Hanuman, he may have a vision of Hanuman. How much did you think that those visions are given by Baba or according to drama, as he says sometimes, but how much do you think those visions are maybe just one portion of the whole reality. In the same way that when you started, or when the Yagya started to experience Baba, it didn't happen in the beginning as a point of light exactly like that. It took many years before clear understanding of Baba happened. Do you think there's also the similar situation with the visions of Golden Age, that we have only a very partial aspect of it, and maybe there's a lot more to see and to be revealed again?
Actually, that is why perhaps Baba stopped me from going into trance, semi-trance. Because, you know, the visions could have different meanings. Baba said, a child who trans gyan more, that child can visualize by himself what things would be like. What I felt from all this was that if you say a year of present day life, the period of a year, although the lifespan is short here, there perhaps it was like a minute. And so much they could do, or I felt that they were so accomplished and so perfect, and that what we do in a year, I mean, we spend so many thoughts, so many words to do something, that was naturally happening because everything was in harmony. The time, you know, the place, the way of doing, all that. So this is what I enjoyed, and this is what enthused me, that we should have those qualities. Even if we have them here, it will bring a total change in our sort of outlook.
Okay, so it's just listening to you, it feels so attractive, you know, this, of course, this Golden Age. Did you wonder sometimes, how is it really possible, in a sense, it's so 100% opposite to what we see today in this world, of course. Even physically, did you wonder sometimes how would it be possible that hundreds of birds will come over you, but there will not be any dust? Baba says birds will not make any mess. Animals will not eat animals. There won't be a drop of blood falling on the earth in Golden Age. Did you sometimes start to churn, but how is this whole thing going to be possible that so much perfection can be there?
You see, because I feel that there was no sort of wastage. No sort of wastage. And it began with no sort of wastage of thoughts. The deity thinks what is to be done, and what is to be done comes in the thought. He does not create so many thoughts and then think to shortlist those thoughts and then again think what should be done. So that's what I said in a nutshell. The experience was that a year of what we do here, well, perhaps naturally happening. The reason, I think, was what I many times describe also after all that churning, that everything happened there at the right time, at the right place, and in the right manner. So if something is done like a perfection, so there is no scope for imperfection at all. And that was a perfect world. Everything in sync, in harmony, in the nature. So everything was favorable, all circumstances, situations, timing and places were favorable. It naturally happened. These days, you know, there are many sciences. We find there is a Vatsu, and some people talk of keeping the face of your house sunwards and so on. But that happened there naturally. So that nature, when nature helps, then human nature is also perfect. Then I think these things can happen. In contrast, if you see today's life, despite our best efforts, what is happening? That there, everything happened at the right time. Here, the timing is mostly wrong. If the timing is okay, then the place is not right. Then if we do, even both are okay, then the mannerism or the way of doing, there is something lacking in that. So as a result, in contrast, extreme contrast today, we find anything can happen to anyone, any time, anywhere. So this is the situation now. Nothing in our control. So that is why I enjoyed that, and I try even now, when Baba says you do what you call exercise, mental exercise, I try to stay more in that period mentally, because I feel like, you know, everything of this world is totally cut off for that period of time. And I feel so heavenly and divine when I come down also to the Baba never says you churn about Iron Age or something like that. We are very much living it. So that also helps in a way to remain off from the present day situations while in those situations. So all that is very interesting and useful also.
So it's interesting because we were evoking your early experiences when you were younger, when you came to Gyan with the semi-trance. So many decades later, today, what is your connection with the Golden Age? You are mentioning you are sometimes trying to go back there. Is it still very vibrant in your spiritual life? Is it still a big part of it? Or has it been fading away a little bit and now we are remembering long memory, you know, memories from a long, long time ago? But what is your present connection now with the Golden Age, and how much do you think about it or reflect on it and pay attention to it?
This is I was trying to tell you, that those were early experiences which motivated me to try to be qualified for that type of Golden Age. But as Baba is telling us now, you churn, you move the discus. So every day when I sit in meditation, I divide my time into being in Paramdham, that silence as a soul, and to be in the Golden Age, and then to be in the angelic stage, and then to be at the confluence. So every day I recollect. That is what I said, I want to be, I have to divide my time, but still, because that is such a blissful state, I love to be more over there. And when Baba says in Gyan, now it is coming, you should see the signs of it, and you are coming close to that. So I want to be actually, other things I quickly try to finish off and try to be in that period, mentally.
You feel you're almost ready to live there?
I mean, I wish to be. There are certain, you know, the only hurdle I feel is that not the Kali Yuga, my duties or my accounts to be settled or bodily problems, but I feel like to remain more and more angelic, because you can go in Golden Age now only through your mind, but not as a soul, but as a, in your angelic body. So I try to be that and keep in my mind, at the back of my mind, that Golden Age and what type of beautiful life there was. No sort of influence or effect on your even body, what to say of mind. So I invoke that when I feel that there is some situation which is a sort of not favorable. I invoke that and I enjoy it, because that gives me a lot of energy or feeling, thoughts that I can overcome these ordinary situations. Say I am feeling hot, the fan has gone, electricity has gone, no AC. So I don't feel that trouble. I start thinking that I am in Golden Age. Mentally, I cut off from my present situation and feel that I am really enjoying the beautiful climate of the Golden Age. Like that, I try to do that here.
Lovely. I think we are inspired to practice more listening to you. Brijmohan Bhai, if you are okay with that, I wanted to ask you a few questions, very technical questions. And we're going to be a little longer than normal for this interview, but Baba has given many little indications of certain things in the Murlis. And I wanted to know if I can ask you a quick little question, like a quiz show, regarding many aspects of the Golden Age. The first one would be the transition period. What are your insights in how we're going to move from today's world into the perfect world? We know there will be destruction, but what are your insights in terms of how does it work that some people will carry, Baba said many scientists will come and bring the science in the Golden Age, but then they will leave afterwards? Would they go back to Paramdham? Is Krishna going to be born in the Iron Age or in the Golden Age when everything has been destroyed? What are your little insights in the transition period?
Well, brother, personally, I feel these are gray areas. I used to ask such questions and think on in those terms from Baba and Mama directly. Then the mother told me, don't go into the forest of Agyan. Because I used to ask the mother that if there are only two children of the two parents, then how the population will grow? You say that there will be two children in the Golden Age, how the population can grow? Because I am a chartered accountant. So the mother told me, don't go into that. After some period, there will be three. But then the Baba and Mama both told me, don't go into gray areas. And recently, reconfirms my such feeling that I, going into details of things, you know, sometimes can cause confusion. And especially when you are talking to the whole group of Brahmin family, you are giving a reply from your own state. And then there will be other Brahmins who are likely to get confused. For instance, I remember I went to Australia. Afterward, the brothers took me to brother's home and said, well, brother, why no double foreigner is a trans messenger? Now, this is the question they asked me. I didn't know the answer, but suddenly struck me. I said, it is no matter of double foreigner or Bharatvasi. After Baba left the body, it was decided that there will be no trans messenger because that can cause confusion. And that is why neither from India nor from any other country there are trans messengers. But that occurred to me. Similarly, the question you are asking, they are like, you know, you are right in asking, but they are likely to cause difficulties. Even for the scientists, Baba has never said that scientists will come and then they will do certain things for the Golden Age and after that they will go to Paramdham. No. Baba has said, I give marks to every soul. Even the scientists who are very good scientists and who are not only pure scientists, scientists can produce nuclear bombs also. But the scientists with the benevolent sort of a nature, they will come and they will also be part of the Golden Age and they will go through all this, the DT life. Only thing is they will not be like kings and all that. So there are, will be differences. So it is better, I will suggest, not to go into specifics because I can give you my own answers, but probably it may cause more confusion with people because my answer will require further questioning. And in this interview, only I can talk. They have to listen only. They cannot sort of ask me like that.
It's a very wise way to make the interview a little bit shorter, Brij Mohan Bhai.
No, sure. Not that good.
No, I'm just joking. It's good. And I understand what you're saying. At the same time, Western minds in particular, you know, they don't have a choice but to churn a little bit on these things and try to make sure we're not following any blind faith because there are certain aspects sometimes in Gyan that cause confusion anyway. And every individual has to handle that confusion, churn about it, think about, you know, like...
Yeah, no, brother, you are right, but it's not a question of Western mind or this mind. Thing is, recently in a Murli, Brahma Baba is saying that I am thinking future, and that when the children will be more, we will require more houses, and all that I am thinking. And then Brahma Baba says next, that Sri Baba told me, just to think of attaining your own settled state and not of these things. Now there is a lot of, this is the recent Murli, I think a week ago. Now there is a lot of wisdom in that, because at that time there were neither resources to do that and all that. Baba said, I am in charge of transformation. So we must basically understand, if with human mind we start thinking, there will be a lot of doubts and all that if you go to donations and this and that and excavations. So there are answers to that. Because you know this radioactivity, with radioactivity you can mature the vine in 1 hour, which you used to do in watts over the years, centuries. Similarly, with radioactivity, the whole shape, timing of the things change. And there will be going to be a lot of radioactivity. But then if you go into these things, best thing is, what is my role? I have been told about a better world. And I should try to do my best for that and leave the rest to the Creator. Because this is a very big thing. And like a magical transformation. So just as it can come in us, with so many years of all that cover and all that ignorance, still Baba in no time changes our thinking and we start going upwards or in the other direction. Similarly, this is the bigger show. This is Creator's job. So therefore, how will Krishna come? Who will be his parents and all that? That is Creator's job. Logically, if I understand that, yes, we see the signs of transformation, somehow it will take place. These days also people say, God alone knows. So therefore, in this matter, I think we should say, God knows and He will do it. So if we try to get into that, at some point or the other, we will be stuck. So here we have to have, when so many things are logical and right, we can presume the rest of it also will be there. So there are certain uncharted areas. I will not like to venture into that.
I understand. You're right. At the same time, of course, sometimes we do have to answer questions by the public. You know, the famous question about, you know, how you're going to have reproduction in the golden age, how people will reproduce. Baba has just said it will be through yoga power. I read in a Murli, an older Vyakta Murli, where Baba was saying it will happen through kissing and there will be, you know, no lust or no vice at all, but it will be happening through kissing. So of course we sometimes wonder a little bit of these things, and when people ask us, we can always tell them, well, God knows and we will know later on and that will be revealed later on.
But well, a person, brother, you are right, but you see that the golden age is golden age, and all the systems and customs and they are entirely different from iron age. Now if you talk of kissing and all that, many Brahmins will start thinking that it is impure to get into physical contact, but kissing is okay because we have to have it with pure thought, let us attempt. So many things can happen. So that is why I say that immature minds, so far as answering the public is concerned, here also I have a different view. Basic thing is the whole public whom we are addressing, are they going to come in the golden age? Do you think that if we are trying to give information of a different type to people who are not the target audience, who cannot, it is above their wavelength, if you try to answer questions to them, those who are never born out by that process, is it going to convince them? Not at all. Because they are later, they come later on. They come in a different period where the process of birth has totally changed. So trying to convince them, we will be wasting our time. But if there are souls of the golden age, they will immediately accept it even without logic. Because they will think, yes, if the body has to be pure and the soul also, and the world has to be perfect, it's the heavenly birth. So heavenly birth will take place in a heavenly manner. So like that I am saying, but sometimes we try to think that our Gyan can be logically accepted by all people. I don't think so. It will only go into the heads of those. There also there is number wise. The souls of the sort of silver age, they may not be able to grasp what would be the situation on 111. So it is a very systematic thing. Just as in the products also, there are quality products, there are extraordinary products. So those are only purchased or used by those people who really have to do that. So like that, if you see, we never attach the public. Our Gyan is, Baba has never given Gyan to the public. And Baba always says, it will be intelligible, it will be acceptable to those who are souls of that period. That's why I say so.
I appreciate that. I knew I was going into a delicate territory asking you this question, but I think it was important to exactly have your perspective and your answer to what to do with those questions. So I really appreciate taking
Brother, I have, for my own sake, I have answered to all such questions because I also face them. But then I know that my appreciation of those questions or my answers will not be appealing to others. That is the idea. Because every metal has a different melting point. So therefore, it is not in everybody's sort of thing, fortune, that each of us have accepted Gyan after our own logical or faith, thinking in faith or going ahead. So I have the answers, but those answers may not be appealing to all types of people. That's why I am hesitant in giving those answers.
I'll give you a personal call at another point, and I'll give you a personal call to ask you those.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, Richmond, but just to conclude, so what is where should we focus our attention to align ourselves with this future world? Let's leave all the technical question aside. So what is important, you think, that we should focus on in order to align ourselves with Baba's role as a creator and, you know, creating the new world? What should we think about?
Brother, that's a very nice question and a practical one. The thing is, I have found the only and the real one barrier or obstacle, whatever you may call, is transformation of our sanskars. Logically, intellectually, we can understand things. But to realize those things, the barrier or the hurdle that comes in the way is our sanskars, which we have built over a long period. So even understanding, knowing that this should happen and this should not happen, I should do this, I should not do this. For example, Baba says, remain soul conscious all the time. We know it very well, we are practicing. Still, what makes us forget that? It is leftover sanskars. So, sanskar transformation, that we should focus on. And that is why Baba says, remembrance, yoga is the way, only way to change your sanskars. And the sanskars which are from copper age, they are somewhere or the other, they can be termed as impurity. Which means that we can't do what we know we should do. So sanskar transformation to more and more, the methods, Baba said, there are many methods. And there is no cut and dry method. And we have to apply all those methods, easy ones, strong ones, the best ones, to be in seed state, that is very easily said, but to remain in that. So that we should focus on.
And we know the yoga has been going on for 80 years. It's been 80 years Baba has been trying to make us change those sanskars. And sometimes we wonder how much longer it will take.
No. This is also need to be corrected. There are souls who change their sanskar like the Divine Mother. You see her history and what Baba says. An ordinary girl with no money, and she becomes the Gyan Gyaneshwari, the goddess of knowledge. And in the shortest time, she changed her sanskar to be entitled to the first status of the goddess of wealth. So there are many who have gone, not 80 years, the longer it takes means that we are slow in changing our sanskar. Or there is some other karmic account, I have to do service also, I have to do so many things, yajna has also to be run. So it is not that in 80 years nobody had changed their sanskar. Brahma Baba himself, he went in 1969 and he changed his sanskar and he is helping us to change our sanskar. All the advanced party people, they have changed. So we have to see that I should not wait for the last day of the Iron Age. Some people try to say how much time is still left because public asks us. Basically Baba says, you should not worry about these things. We should try to do it at the earliest. So that means that, not that even on the last day of the time available, all would not have changed their sanskar. It is individual effort. And that is what makes us number wise.
But many, many years ago, were you hoping that you would see, I would say, the transition in this life? Or now that we see many seniors leaving and becoming part of the Advanced Party, what do you feel about yourself, and do you feel that I wish I could just go through the transition period in my birth time, or do you mind to go into another body again?
Brother, I take a very broad perspective of the Dharma, and each soul has their own part. For instance, it is not that Dadi Janaki did not make that effort, but Dadi Prakashmani make that, she is still in the body. There are many, many complex factors. So I never think that what should be this and that. I play my part to the best of my ability. And whatever in the drama will happen to me. So I never choose or select, nor it is in my hands. There are so many controlling factors, because it is not one birth sanskara. It's sanskaras of a whole half of the cycle which need to be changed. So therefore, I never think in those terms, what should I do and what. I try to do my best, because even if I want this way or that way, Dadi Prakashmani had wished from Baba that she will never, should never take the next birth. And then when she left the body, then Baba had to specially explain to her in certain region why you should take next birth, otherwise you are entitled not to take birth. And then when Baba convinced, then she took the next birth. To that extent, it is so subtle and, complex.
Right. So, anything else you'd like to share, Bridgman Bhai, on this webinar where we're looking at seeing into being, thinking about our reflection of Golden Age in terms of where we are now and where we will be in the future? Any other aspect you think we should pay attention to or listen to?
My simple formula is, we should believe drama is accurate. Right is right, wrong is also right. Okay?
Okay, that's very, very sweet.
Okay, brother, thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us, Bridgman Bhai. We really appreciate it, and thank you for answering all these questions.
Thank you very much for giving this opportunity. Thank you.